Stanza 6, no prophet speaks for thee. And we turn to a passage in speaking of the days in which Samuel was a child, a day in which prophecy was rare. We turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel 3, which is also the text that we consider tonight in this applicatory service. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I. For thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also. If thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So far we read from the holy word of God. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this is preached this sermon as part of a series on 1 Samuel. And so some of the things that are mentioned in this chapter, there's quite a few things mentioned in this chapter. Some of these things were I talked about in greater detail in earlier sermons, especially the reference to the sin of Eli's house. What was happening in Eli's family was that his sons were committing great wickedness right at the tabernacle itself. Eli was the priest, and his sons were priests. They were violating the rules concerning the offering of sacrifices, and they were also committing fornication right there with women at the tabernacle itself. It was abominable what they were doing, and Eli spoke against it. It isn't that he said nothing. He did speak against what they were doing. He spoke about how it was a bad report that he was hearing about them, but he didn't do enough. It was the case that his son should not have continued on in the priest's office, and yet they did. And God had spoken through a prophet about the judgment that would come upon Eli's house, and that's mentioned earlier, before chapter 3. Now in chapter 3, God reveals himself to Samuel and speaks the same message that had come from a different prophet earlier, and says, and he makes a reference to that, he says that he's going to do the things that he has spoken concerning the house of Eli. He says in verse 12, he had already said it, and now he's speaking through Samuel, letting him know that this is going to take place. And then Eli, when he insists, Samuel tells Eli what God has said. Now Samuel at this time is just a boy. And that also was mentioned earlier. And that Samuel was, that Hannah had prayed for a son that would be a Nazirite for his whole life. And the idea there was that Hannah prayed and said that if God gave her a child, she would give him to God, which she did, and brought him to the tabernacle. And there he labored right alongside of the wicked children of Eli. Now we look at this in an applicatory service. We look at this from a number of points of view. First of all, we take note of the fact that there's a reference to God revealing himself here. And it's important for us to think about the fact that God reveals himself to us. Indeed, the Lord's Supper illustrates the fact that he feeds us spiritually. Now, how does he do that? He does that by revealing himself to us. The Lord's Supper is illustrating what's going on from week to week. That Jehovah God is revealing himself unto us and to our children. We look at that in the first instance, coming to know that God is Jehovah. That's quite a statement. When it says that Samuel did not yet know Jehovah. Verse 7. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Now, he was a believer, but he was now going to come to understand in a deeper way what it means that God is Jehovah, that he reveals himself to us, that that's something that we and our children are led by God to understand. Secondly, we look at it from the viewpoint of the call, that if God speaks to us, if he reveals himself to us, that means we've got a calling. Just as if you were, if you think of what it'd be like to be Samuel, that Samuel, on the one hand, he becomes aware, God spoke to me. God spoke to me. That was God. And he spoke to me. And then also thinking, I have a calling to tell others. That means I'm a prophet. If God spoke to me, that means he's calling me to be a prophet. And as it says there, that all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, Dan in the north, Beersheba in the south, all Israel knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And lastly, we look at it from the viewpoint of the honor. And that was brought up also in connection to what was said earlier in the book, that Eli and his sons were dishonoring God. And God said that those that honor me, I will honor. And those who dishonor me will be lightly esteemed. We think of the fact that here we see, you see both the judgment that comes on Eli's house, and also looking at it from the positive of the honor of being established as a prophet of God. So we look at this passage under the theme, Jehovah reveals himself to Samuel. Consider the vision, secondly, the call, and thirdly, the honor. The vision came at a time when there was not much prophecy. The beginning of the chapter says that. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. So now, through Samuel, the word of the Lord was going to come to all Israel. But before this, it was rare, precious, rare. Now, the scriptures speak in a number of places of times in which the word of God was rare. Speaks of times when it was a judgment of God. And of course, we sang, as it was pointed out, we sang of that. And so we sing of this also in the Psalms. And we think of a passage like that found in the prophecy of Amos. Amos 8, verse 11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Through the prophet Amos, of course this was later, that God spoke about days coming when there would be a famine in hearing the words of the Lord. Now that was a judgment of God that would come. People didn't want to hear the words of the Lord. People weren't interested in knowing what the truth really was, and they weren't interested in submitting to that word. They didn't really want God as their king. We see something similar with Saul. Saul didn't listen to God. And then when Saul did not listen to God, God would not bring his word to Saul. And Saul mentioned that himself. But the judgment was he wasn't listening to the word. The word that was spoken to him, he did not heed. Well, this was a time when the word of God was rare. This comes after the Judges. And the 1 Samuel comes after the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, we read, it ends by speaking of how there was no king in Israel and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And then we come to 1 Samuel and we see the wickedness that's going on at the tabernacle, at the house of God itself. Samuel has God speak to him at nighttime. And he's laboring there with Eli. And when he hears God speak to him, he runs to Eli. Which is interesting, the thought of a boy when he hears at nighttime, when he hears a voice, thinks it's Eli, thinks Eli may need him, he runs at nighttime. This tells us something about Samuel. Quickly, he goes. Samuel. Man by nature delays when he's called. We often talk to our children about that too. They can... By nature, man wants when he's called and doesn't and thinks maybe he's going to be asked to do something, he's going to delay it. Samuel ran. Here I am. Well, you called me. And he keeps doing that, this Samuel. Here I am, you called me. And Eli gradually comes to recognize that it's God. In verse 8, and Eli perceived that the Lord, that is Jehovah, had called the child. And then he tells Samuel what to say. He says, go lie down, and it shall be if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak Jehovah. So that's telling him who it is. Say, speak Jehovah. It's not me that's calling you, it's Jehovah. And if he calls you again, say, speak Jehovah, for thy servant heareth. We don't read that Samuel actually said Jehovah. When he heard God speak again, and the Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. We read he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. And then God spoke to him. Eli was the one that perceived. And God spoke to Samuel through Eli. It's important, too, to recognize that indicates that God often does direct us through our elders. Even if they're not personally godly. Even if, for example, there was a child of God that was raised in a home where his parents, or maybe one of them, really didn't love God. Still, God calls us to honor those in authority over us, and that we are to recognize God leading us through those that he places over us. That is an important aspect of learning to recognize how God directs us. When we know this and believe this, we listen. We listen when our parents speak. Even when we're older. Even when we're out of the house, and it's not the case that we have to do what they say in the sense of obedience like we do when we're a child, but we still honor them, and we still take note of what they tell us. And of course, we don't follow what we're told if we're ever told to do something that isn't right. But we do recognize that God speaks to us through parents. He speaks to us through the elders. When we hear the elders speak, we listen. We see great significance in what they say. Recognizing, looking past the men to consider the God who is speaking through them. Same thing in the proclamation of the word from week to week. And also the rulers in the workplace, those in authority in the workplace, in civil government, we recognize that God governs us through those he's placed over us, and we are to take note of the things that they say. God made this known to Eli to make known to Samuel. God came and stood. It says in verse 10, and the Lord came and stood. And then he called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel, repeating his name. And he revealed himself to God, to Samuel. God revealed himself in words. As obvious as that is, it's important to bring out that God speaks to us not simply in feelings that we can't explain, but that he reveals himself to us in words. And it says in verse 21, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, that's where the tabernacle was, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. God reveals himself by his word, and today we understand that to mean through scripture, his word. That's how he speaks to us, where many people claim that God is directing them and telling them things that are not principles found in this word. He speaks to us by guiding us to understand the word, which his spirit guides us to learn. Which speaks of many things, and one of the things it speaks of, which is made known here, is God's judgments. God says to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. There's a number of places where God speaks that way, speaks of a severe judgment, thinking of a violent or dreadful sound. The idea is that people are going to hear about a severe judgment that is going to come upon Eli's house. And he says, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken. He's already said this. So at that point, Samuel is being told that the message is something that God already said. But that's not uncommon in the scripture. There's a number of times when prophets spoke and said same things prophets before had said. Although it wasn't merely repetition, but we see repeatedly the same principles that are taught in Scripture. And for Eli, by hearing yet another witness. Yet another witness brings to him. He had heard it from this prophet earlier about the judgment that was going to come upon his house, and now he hears about it from Samuel. The same word. In fact, that's one of the ways we can see, too, with Scripture, that we see it's the Word of God, is that there are these different writers, and they all wrote the same thing. God, and in the Old Testament, God would speak through one prophet, and then a totally different man, and God says the same thing. Years later, bringing out that this is not that prophet's word, and then later this prophet's word, but this is God. It's God that's speaking through different men. So it is with the Scriptures themselves. That he used different men at different times, but it's evident that there's one God speaking through these different men. It's one God who speaks through Christ, through the ones that have the Spirit of Christ guiding them, as we read that the prophets did. He goes on and says, the judgment, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now that, the history of Eli is one that, when we hear it, we all examine ourselves. Am I like Eli? There's something going on in my house, and I can say, I spoke against it, but didn't do enough when more needed to be done. Like if it was a matter that if somebody doesn't repent, they're to be put out. If it's that kind of a matter, then we don't just tell them to stop. And if they don't, we don't just say, I told him to stop. I told him a number of times. He's not doing it, though. Well, then what do you do? Well, it's my son. If it's your son, what do you do? Well, we know what the word tells us to do. We know what we're supposed to do. If they don't listen to us, we bring one or two more. And it's husband and wife, is there bringing that word? And if they bring some, another one, say, they don't listen. We know where it's to go when we follow the route, as painful as it is. And every one of us knows that. And when we hear this, it makes us all think of that. That when I see things, my own family, that it's important that I honor God rather than, lest I hear the word, these words that Eli honored his sons instead of God. We don't want that be true of us. Well, that's the message. And then he adds, I've sworn. He swears an oath. Now we know God swears by himself, because there is no greater. He swears an oath. When he speaks the covenant blessings, the idea of making a covenant, making a covenant involves swearing an oath. We sing that, I've sworn an oath, which gladly I repeat. We're under oath in the covenant. God swears an oath. He swears by himself. And here we read of God swearing an oath in his wrath. And we read of that in a number of places, that he swore in his wrath about the rebels that would never enter into his rest. Here he says, I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. That's the judgment. And Samuel hears that and comes to know that God is Jehovah. Jehovah, the I am that I am, the unchanging, covenant-keeping God who speaks. When we say he's a covenant God, and our children learn that very young, named Jehovah, that brings out the idea that God makes a covenant with us, and he's faithful, he's unchanging, he's always faithful. Well, that he's a covenant God means he speaks. He speaks to us. Now you think of Samuel. What happened in the life of Samuel? Samuel at this time came to a much greater understanding of the idea that God speaks to you. He talks to you in words you can understand. So God also speaks to us. He doesn't bring new revelation now that the scriptures are finished, but we do understand that he does make himself known to us. Say, well, we have our word right here. That's right. But he also guides us. He opens our understanding to it, that we become more conscious of the fact that God is talking to me. Our young people often make confession of this when they make confession of faith. And they grow up, you know, often it's the case they've grown up all their life hearing the preaching of the Word of God. And when they're really young, you know, they had a difficulty understanding it. And as time goes older, they understand more of what's being said. And as they grow older, they start seeing the same principles that they're being taught in catechism. Also in our home and in our school, they start seeing these things more. And they also start recognizing that the Spirit is applying it to them personally. In a way the minister doesn't know. That we can hear and be conscious that God is speaking to me about something that the minister has no idea about. It's God that's the one speaking. We come to recognize that. We sometimes recognize that, and a minister recognizes that when he is the one speaking. That he hears God speaking to him personally. We hear this and recognize he's Jehovah. The covenant is friendship. God speaks to us. We speak to God, and we know he hears us. When God reveals himself to us, we know that means that we're prophets. All God's people are prophets. Prophets, back in this time, you know, the priests were of Aaron's line. If you were a priest, that meant you were not only a Levite, but you were of the line of Aaron. But God raised up prophets from different tribes. He'd raise up a man to be a prophet. Samuel was of the line of the tribe of Levi. And there were a number that were. God would speak and the individual would come to know that he was called to be a prophet. We read of a number of those are brought out in detail. Some of the ones that in Scripture, how they came to be a prophet and how God spoke to them, the Scriptures speak to us in some detail. We think of Moses, God speaking to him in the burning bush there, telling him to go and bring a message of judgment. Here we see Samuel. We think of Isaiah and Jeremiah, both prophets who have sections that speak about when God called them to be prophets. A number of times we take note of the fact that God would raise up a prophet at a time when people weren't heeding the word. That's important for us to think of too. You think of what was happening in the days of Moses. God raised up Moses as a prophet. His people were in bondage, and he raised up a prophet to deliver them from bondage. And they were not just simply in bondage in the bodily sense, but many of the Israelites were walking like the Egyptians, which became quite evident when they did come out of Egypt, and we see the judgment that came upon them. How many of them did not want to listen to God, did not want to listen to God's prophet, but God raised up a prophet to the glory of his name and for a blessing for his people. And there's a number of times where we see it's a time of darkness and then God raises up a prophet. Here we see that what it was like in Samuel's day, and then we think of what it was like in Christ's day. That there had been that long period of time, a long period of time between the end of the Old Testament and the New. And then God raises up John the Baptist and Christ following him. And how the people, when they saw the miracles of Christ, they said, "The Lord has visited his people, he's raised up a prophet." But that was at a time of great darkness. And as was evident from the fact that many did not listen to him. But there were those that did. And God raises up Christ the prophet, and prophets in other times, to be a leader, a spiritual leader for the people. Prophesying involves making known God's judgments. And that's a number of the prophets, that's what we see. When you look at Isaiah, well, what did God say to Isaiah when God told him he was a prophet? What did God say to him? Remember when God said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then Isaiah said, "Then said I, here I am, send me." And then God speaks words of judgment. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not, make the heart of this people fat," and so on. "Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes." That was the word of judgment that God said he was going to use the prophet speaking words of judgment. With Jeremiah, we see something very similar. He was told he was going to be a prophet to the nations, to throw down and also to build up. It would be to throw down and to build up. So Samuel, when he's called, he hears this word of judgment. And And you just think of what it must have been like for Samuel lying there. Samuel lay until the morning. Not only would he have laid there thinking, God just, he spoke to me, but also what he said about people he knew. He gets up in the morning. He opens the doors of the house of the Lord, and he was afraid to show Eli the vision. But it was God's plan that Eli, that was part of God's plan too, that Eli would hear about this, that Samuel kept coming to Eli, and in God's providence, that was so that Eli would know that God was speaking to Samuel. So the next morning, he wants Samuel, and he insists that Samuel needs to tell him everything. Don't hide anything. So Samuel doesn't. He tells him the whole thing. He told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. That's how he responded. When we think of the calling to be a prophet, and in this applicatory service, we think first of all of the fact that we're all called to be prophets. And when we think of the calling to be prophets, we recognize that part of that involves bearing witness against things that are going on. People we know. We know there's a right way and a wrong way of dealing with sin, different kinds, violations of God's commandments. But we recognize that we are trusting in God, and in true humility, we're to bear witness. God has taught us his word. He has fed us. He is feeding us. And he calls us to bear witness to others, which will be a word of judgment to those that reject it. But God will also use it positively for the gathering of his people, even as many rejected what Samuel said and the judgment came upon them. But there were others that were built up by the words that Samuel spoke. We have a calling to prophesy, to bear witness. We need to look for opportunities to do that. That all of us need to look for opportunities to do that. The minister himself, not only from the pulpit, but also when he's out there among people that just blatantly reject the word, to look for opportunities to speak, finding where people are as far as in their own understanding, looking for opportunities to address various things, but looking for God to open the door to bear witness to what we've seen and heard. Or just recently we talked about the witnesses of the resurrection and the joy as they went out to tell people the news. And it's a joyful news. It's a news of judgment for those that reject it. Yes, it is. But it is the joyful news of salvation in Christ, of complete forgiveness for all of our sins, that Christ died to pay for them all, and that he is risen indeed. We're called to bear witness to that, the good news of the gospel. And some are called specifically to be ministers of the word. And we bring that to our sons, to consider whether the Lord calls them to be a minister of the word. It may be that one of the young men here tonight is a man that the Lord calls to be a minister of the word. And we recognize the importance of us guiding our children in that direction, for them to consider that, if such is the Lord's will, whether it be preaching in our own instituted churches in the United States, or whether it means going far away, whether it means my own son being on the other side of the globe with my daughter-in-law and my grandkids, that we recognize the high calling. And it is important for us to encourage our young men, the young men here tonight, to consider that. It's also important for us to think about growing at whatever age. As children growing, we see that Samuel grew spiritually. The passage speaks of that. It speaks of that in chapter 2, verse 26. And when we read this, as children, we're to read this and think of God saying that about you. Chapter 2, 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. He grew spiritually. He was in favor with the Lord and also with men. Men recognized. Now, granted, the ungodly world mocks God's people, but there will be those who will recognize this is a godly young man. At a young age, he's manifesting that he loves God, that he will walk in the ways of God, and when others are rejecting what Jehovah says, he does not join them. In fact, even if he's the only one, he speaks. He speaks against what others are saying, and he's known as one that will do that. That's what we desire of our sons and of our daughters. It's also the case that when at any age, that we're to grow. That we're to grow. To bear witness. And we're to seek that growth. That we might better proclaim the word that God makes known to us. He feeds us and he tells us, now go. Live that word. And you live out of the principles that have been taught to you. Put on that new man, walk in the ways of holiness. And in the way of doing that, we have the joy of knowing that we are shining forth the glory of Christ. This was pointed out in the chapter, in chapter 2, a principle had been taught about who God honors. Chapter 2, verse 30, it says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." The negative is that God says, you despise me, you reject my word, you will be dishonored. And that's what we see in Eli's house. But the positive is hearing God say, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And you and I always have to examine ourselves. Do I seek the honor that comes from men? Or from God? It's like we read, the true Jew is one whose praise is not of men but of God. And we recognize that our tendency is to just look at the praise of men. But then we read a passage like this that makes us think about being honored by God. Honored by God. You think of Hannah. We think of what she did. And how when she was treated evil in an evil way, instead of responding with evil, she trusted in God. And the honor her son would be Samuel, one of the great prophets. So God honors one who honored him. And Samuel here is just beginning. And the scriptures will go on and talk about the life of Samuel, who walked with God, a sinner, but one who fought his evil nature, one who faithfully served Jehovah, one who honored God, and who was honored by God. So are we to think of that too. That as we go forth, we're to think about the desire that we might glorify God, that out of love for God, we want to glorify God. We want to honor him. And we have joy knowing that the honor that he will give us is the honor of shining forth as his children who bear his image, who look like God. For that's what it is to bear the image of God. To have others be able to recognize he looks like God. She looks like God. Like one of God's children spiritually. He or she looks like God. When he or she speaks, it's the things God says. It's in line with the principles God teaches. And when he walks, he does things that Christ does. He shows who his Lord is. Our desire is to be more like God. And as we look to his word, and as we think of the great privilege that Christ purchased for us, that he laid down his life that we might have the food and that we might have purchased for us the right to have faith to receive that food, to eat it with the hand and mouth of our soul. And he gives us the quickening spirit that we might, with power from on high, bear witness to what he has taught us. As we seek grace, as we seek the Spirit, as we take in the words that he teaches us, and as we strive more to bear witness to that truth, God is honored, and we shine forth the glory of our Father. Amen. Let us pray.